ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायं उदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति न इष्टिकी। टुडे वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग टू रीड फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 26 एंटाइटल फंडामेंटल प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर टेक्स्ट नंबर 17। प्रकृतेर्गुणसाम्यस्य निर्विशेषाय मानवी चेष्टा यथा स भगवान् काल इति उपलक्षितः। प्रकृतेर्गुणसाम्यस्य निर्विशेषाय मानवी चेष्टयतः स भगवान् काल इति उपलक्षितः। प्रकृतेर्गुणसाम्यस्य निर्विशेषाय मानवी चेष्टा यतः स भगवान् काल इति उपलक्षितः। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। प्रकृते ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर गुणसाम्यस्य विदाउट इंटरैक्शन ऑफ द थ्री मोड्स निर्विशेषाय विदाउट स्पेसिफिक क्वालिटीज मानवी ओ डॉटर ऑफ मनु चेष्टा मूवमेंट यतः फ्रॉम हूम सह ही भगवान द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड कालः टाइम इति दस उपलक्षितः इज डेसिग्नेटेड। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। माय डियर मदर ओ डॉटर ऑफ स्वयंभू मनु द टाइम फैक्टर as I have explained is the supreme personality of Godhead from whom the creation begins as a result of the agitation of the neutral unmanifested nature. Purport. The unmanifested state of material nature pradhana is being explained. The Lord says that when the unmanifested material nature is agitated by the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it begins to manifest itself in different ways. Before this agitation, it remains in the neutral state without interaction by the three modes of material nature. In other words, material nature cannot produce any variety of manifestations without the contact of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is very nicely explained in Bhagavad Gita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of the products of material nature. Without His contact, material nature cannot produce anything. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, a very suitable example is given in this connection. Although the nipples of a goat's neck appear to be breast nipples, they do not give milk. Similarly, material nature appears to the material scientist to act and react in a wonderful manner, but in reality it cannot act without the agitator, time, who is the representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When time agitates the neutral state of material nature begins to produce varieties of manifestations. Ultimately, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of creation. As a woman cannot produce children unless impregnated by a man, material nature cannot produce or manifest anything unless it is impregnated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of the time factor. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Galpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sharira Vidyajal Jadendriya Tahikal Jiva Pele Vishay Sagare Sorry. That's meant to be sung before taking prasadam. My favorite breakfast prasadam is khichdi. Now, before you kick me out of the Vyasasan, I'll explain how cooking of khichdi relates to the manifestation, unmanifestation of the material nature. The credit actually goes to one of the devotees in Mayapur Institute. When I asked him to explain these details, the subtle differences between Pradhan, Prakriti, Mahatattva, although it was not to be covered, so he gave the simple example. So to cook khichdi, what do we need? Ingredients are like rice, dal, what else? Water, spices. Now you put together everything in the pot and the cooking happens automatically, is it? What do we need to light up the fire? So only after the fire is lit, the actual cooking begins. Now when you see the ingredients that are mixed in the pot of the khichdi before the cooking begins, it's all in an undifferentiated state where you cannot distinguish what is what, although you can see things. Nothing is clear and nothing has come out as a product yet. It is still in an unmanifested state. Now when that state we can see where things are not so much clearly distinguished, there is no variety in it, that is what is the unmanifested pradhan. It has got all these combinations in it, but nothing is happening. Now, as fire starts to agitate the pot, Similarly, the time factor starts to agitate the pradhan. And then in a cooking pot, what do you see? It starts to boil up, the water boils up, you see bubbles, plup, 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 exact to come up. That state, when it is slightly starting to get agitated, that's the Mahatattva stage where agitation is starting to happen. And later on, as we will see, the modes come into picture, mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. You know how you can cook in low flame, high flame and medium flame. That's how the fire, you can cook in different degrees. So if you cook in medium flame, experienced cooks, no, we have this great Surya Gopal Prabhu and veteran cooks here, who are very expert in cooking. So they know how to use ingredients, put it together. So if they cook in a medium flame, it gets cooked evenly and then it comes out really nicely. Then you cook in high flame, put a lot of spices and it gets a lot of taste related to hot, like chilies and all that. So khichdi comes out in a different fashion. And then you cook and then it gets burnt and then you leave the scrap at the bottom, take the remaining. Now that's a different style. So that which comes out nicely in a sattvic way, that's the mode of goodness. That's khichdi in the mode of goodness. It's really spices, everything, lot of extra things added up to spice it up. That's passion and burnt, can't be tasted. So that's khichdi in the mode of ignorance. So we don't take that. Similarly, we see the modes interacting, agitating, and then material nature is producing different varieties. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the point about the cooking doesn't begin until the fire starts. So here the verse is talking about the time factor. The time factor is that agitating force which triggers all the transformation. Without that, nothing happens. And who is that? That Kala is Bhagavan himself. Here in the translation it says, the time factor, as I have explained, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead from whom the creation begins as a result of the agitation of the neutral, unmanifested nature. So the word Nirvisheshaya is used in the Sanskrit text where it says, the word-to-word meaning, without specific qualities. So when it is in the unmanifested state, and then we see how transformation happens, and then there are manifestations, different varieties are coming out. Now, how does the time factor act here? It's acting as the glance of the Lord. Purport here says, the Lord says that when the unmanifested nature is agitated by the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it begins to manifest itself in different ways. Before this agitation, it remains in a neutral state. So at that point, there are no modes acting. It is in a very neutral state. Now, as soon as the time factor comes in, the agitation happens. And because of that, material nature is able to produce different varieties. Srila Prabhupada uses the example from the Bhagavad Gita verse, which is Chapter 14, verse 3. Mama yonir mahat brahma tasmin garbham dadam yaham sambhava sarva bhutanam tato bhavati bharata. The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings, O son of Bharata. Now, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada, in his usual style of giving powerful analogies, brings out this analogy of how scorpions are coming out of rice bag. Many would have heard this analogy before. Can scorpions come out of rice bag? No. Prabhupada explains that the scorpion goes and lays the eggs in the rice bag, and eventually it seems as if the rice bag is giving birth to scorpions, whereas actually it was not done by the rice bag. So with this analogy, Prabhupada brings out the point. Actually, the eggs were laid by the mother. Similarly, material nature is not the cause of the birth of the living entities. The seed is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they only seem to come out as a product of material nature. So here we see who is the source, who is giving the variety. Now, where do we come into this picture? The material nature is there, is producing varieties, the Lord is agitating as time. So we have this desire, and based on that desire, we get a suitable body. So up to the stage of desiring, it's with us, and then the variety is created by the material nature, the seed is actually given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have a wide variety of choices. You go to a shopping mall and then we see this. If they are able to show us 8.4 million varieties, so then that shopping mall is actually the material nature. It gives us so much varieties. And previous verses we saw how the spirit soul, although full of knowledge, after seeing those forms gets bewildered. And Maya, by her covering energy and throwing energy, bewilders the living entity, because the soul identifies with those different varieties of bodies, although he is purely spiritual. The next verse in Bhagavad Gita, the same chapter, Krishna explains, is a famous verse. Sarva yoneshu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantiya tasham brahma mahatyonir aham bija pradapita. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and I am the seed-giving father. This is the first example which Prabhupada uses in his purport when he mentions about the Bhagavad Gita verse. Then another technical example Prabhupada gives, which is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. A suitable example is given in this connection. So that example is from C.C. Adi Lila 5.61. It is a type of nyaya called Ajagala Stana Nyaya, where the nipples of goat does not give any milk, although it seems like the breast nipples. Similarly, the material nature appears to be the source, whereas actually it is not. And Prabhupada brings out this point as to how the material scientist view in this way, thinking that the material nature is the source, that's what is producing all the varieties, and what they are intelligently, the demoniac intelligence, what they are doing is, they are removing God from the picture. As soon as I include God, I have to follow the rules and regulations of God. So I will use the resources of material nature, I will enjoy it, but I will not acknowledge the source. Just as I will consume electricity, but I will not pay bills. Now, how far can you live like that? So that is how they skillfully avoid the hand of God in creation. And thereby I don't have to follow the rules of God. And this is the only life you have. Go for it. Enjoy. Consume. The all material nature is yours. Consume. And live this life happily by such consumption. But does it satisfy? Krishna explains that the senses never get satisfied. Dushparena analena cha. So it's like pouring butter in a fire. Now, in that verse, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada gives another example of how iron, when it is kept continuously in contact with fire, that can act as fire also. Similarly, material nature is iron, for it has no independence to act without the touch of Vishnu, who is compared to fire. Lord Vishnu activates material nature by the power of his glands. Here, that's what we are discussing, the glands as the time factor. And then the iron-like material nature becomes a material supplying agent, just as iron made red hot becomes a burning agent. So these analogies help us deepen the knowledge and understanding, and depending on the audience that we are talking to, we could quote these examples and explain how Lord is the seed-giving father. Now, having looked at how creation happens in the aspect of time factor, how it is agitating, now we'll move on to look at how this knowledge of this different material elements, how is that going to help me in my own personal life? How is that going to help me manage myself better? We see that the spirit soul is in a three-dimensional existence where it is covered by a gross layer, then the subtle layer. And we as spirit soul are constitutionally servants of God. So by that misidentification with the material body, we go through distress and happiness. So God is not responsible for your happiness or distress. Neither is material nature responsible for it. You, based on your desire, you are responsible for happiness and distress. So that responsibility has to be taken from our side. We cannot just wash our hands, oh, the three modes are doing it, so I am not doing it. After learning philosophy in a half-baked way, men may go to this conclusion, okay, you can't arrest me because I did not shoot the thing, it's just the three modes. They pulled the trigger, I did not pull, because it's quoted in Gita. You are not the doer. No, His Grace Gurujan Prabhu in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, when he explains this concept. So who is the doer? Is the Lord the doer? Or the material nature the doer? Or are you as a jiva, are you the doer? He says, everyone has got a part to play. And it is your responsibility that you develop desires in such a way that it is going to be conducive for your spiritual life. So that is still your responsibility. So acting responsibly comes from the fact of understanding our constitutional position. Next, these material ingredients are given to us by the Lord. It belongs to the Lord, and we are meant to manage it properly. The body that we have, it's a combination of all this. It has to be managed properly so that it can be used in the Lord's service. So by knowing the qualities of each of them, so fire, water, ether, so what is happening in my body, what is the imbalance that is created by which element, we should have a fundamental understanding so that this vehicle of the body can be used in Lord's service by managing them properly. It may seem a common sense. So when you're thirsty, drink water. If you're having a lot of fever, then take precaution. But common sense is not very common nowadays. People ignore their health sometimes. It is said that debt, if you're getting loan from somebody, disease and fire, they should be put out straight away. You don't have to delay for it. So we have to take care, manage ourselves better, the resources that are given to us. So by having a knowledge of what element is doing what, it helps us become more responsible, managing my resources properly. That is at a physical level. Now, if we draw like a quadrant, so we have the physical quotient, where you manage your body properly, and then we have the emotional quotient, where it talks about mind. It's the center of all the emotions, thoughts, desires. Then we have the intelligence aspect, intelligence quotient, and then the actual spirit soul, that spiritual quotient. So you have bodily needs, you have emotional needs, you have intellectual needs, and you have spiritual needs. So we have to take care of all this. So this knowledge helps us to manage all this properly. So mind being the reservoir of thoughts and emotions, so we have to manage our emotions properly, manage our thoughts properly, manage our desires properly. So Krishna explains the divine qualities. As soon as you acknowledge that you are the spirit soul, you are meant to cultivate what? You are meant to cultivate divine qualities. What are those qualities? Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Shanti, Arjavam. He gives a whole list. So that is our to-do list. As a spirit soul, I am meant to cultivate all this. So how do I manage my mind better? How do I focus my intelligence? Krishna explains that the intelligence has to refer to transcendental knowledge, and it has to purify itself. So such purified intelligence has to guide the mind. So such purified intelligence and mind can use the senses properly. So that is why this knowledge is given to us. It is categorically given. This is what mind does. This is what intelligence does. It's going to come up in this chapter. Doubt, misapprehension, correct apprehension, sleep. There's one more ingredient. So these are all make intelligence. Intelligence means you are able to discriminate which is right, which is wrong, and then you are able to act on that. So determination and discrimination, these are all the aspects of intelligence. So you use that properly. And obviously we have the spiritual needs, which is fulfilled in the bhakti process by kirtan. Everybody enjoys kirtan. So we have 12-hour kirtan, 24-hour kirtan. When that is happening, again, when I say 12-hour, its time factor is there. But still, when we are getting our spiritual needs fulfilled through the bhakti process, we are transcending the effect of time. The 12-hour kirtan time passes, we don't know when, how it passed. We are sitting in the temple hall and listening to the kirtan. So it is a nice way of utilizing that same time factor, which is creating destructive effect. Previous verses and previous few verses describe how time is destructive. But when the same time factor, when it is used in the Lord's service, it is producing, it is elevating you. And you transcend time actually. So you take care of your spiritual needs by engaging in devotional activities like japa, kirtan. And another powerful way in devotional service is deity worship. Again, the time factor is crucial there. We wake up the Lord at a particular time. We offer bhoga to him at a particular time. We offer arati at a particular time. The arati starts at a particular time, ends at a particular time. Now, let us look at how these elements that we are discussing, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and how is that connected to deity worship? And what is it that the pujaris are doing? Something they are waving, something that's happening, something goes in, something comes out, and then we do this, and then we smell, they are waving some kerchief as if it's for wiping the Lord's face. What's all this happening with the deity worship? It's good to know. Because each item that is getting offered to the Lord in the deity worship represents different elements. So let's try to recollect what gets offered first to the Lord in the arati. Do you observe the pujari? What does he do in the arati? If he comes out, and what does he blow? He blows a conch shell. What does that represent? Ether. Okay, good. Then what does the pujari do next? He goes and offers incense. What does incense represent? Sorry? Smell. Yeah, very good. Then the incense don't come out, but we can smell. So then what next? So the dhoop is done. So now the lamp has got ghee wicks, and then we light it and we offer it to the Lord. So that represents the fire element. So then after that we offer water. That is easy to understand. It represents water. Then kerchief and flower, they represent the earth element. Now after that we go to the side and then we pick up the yak tail, and then we fan the, it's not actually fanning, it is meant as a symbol of aristocracy, for it is meant for kings, and it is also meant to drive away the tiny insects that are there. That's the whole purpose. The actual peacock fan is for the cool breeze, whereas a yak tail is for a different purpose. So yak tail represents air. Now other than the aarti the pujari is doing, what happens in the temple hall when the aarti is happening? Doing mangal aarti, what do? We observe silence and sit in a corner and meditate like this. What do? We sing. Okay. So the prayers, your mind is absorbed in those prayers and you are able to sing with emotions. As that is how mind plays its role. And by understanding the significance of every item that is being offered and being able to focus on what is happening at the moment, when the mind wanders, bring it back and focus. So that discrimination, determination, your intelligence is playing the part. Now, when the curtains open, what do? We all bow down. We give up our identity and we take up the real identity as I am a servant. So you give up your false ego and you bow down. Dasa, dasan, dasa. I am the servant of Krishna. That's what it means when you're bowing down. I am fully surrendered to you, my Lord. From this day on, I am yours. So when you bow down, what do you chant? You chant the pranam mantra of Srila Prabhupada or your initiated spiritual master. So that is my identity. I am a servant of the servant of servant. So with that real ego of reinstating yourself, so then you take darshan of the deities. All these elements belong to God. Now I am dedicating all of them. I am offering all of them with love and devotion to God. So that's the whole significance of understanding how every element that is around us can be offered to God. And after that we see the transformation of matter becoming spiritual. So when the same lamp comes out, we take and we put it on your forehead. We smell the flowers. The water gets sprinkled on our head. How do we know it's producing the effect? Over a period, you keep doing this, then your consciousness changes. Then you see that, okay, it went in as matter, now it is coming out as spiritual, now I am taking it. Now I am also getting transformation in my consciousness. So that is how you see that which binds us in this world. Every covering is described as very, very thick. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. That same thing which binds you, when offered to the Lord, when that gets transformed into spiritual, that same thing can liberate you as well. The entire process of aarti, the person who is doing it, the person who is observing it, both of them are getting the benefit. And it fills your heart with natural loving feelings of the Lord, and your intellect is more focused on getting the blessings of the Lord. So in this way we see how this knowledge of this material nature, and when we see that in connection to worship of the Lord, then it makes more sense. So we saw how we can apply it in our own life, managing ourselves, and how we can offer it to God. Now, having seen this aspect of deity worship, now to do deity worship in a good consciousness, I must have good relationship with other devotees. Now, how does this knowledge of material elements, dealing with that, how does that going to help me in relating with other devotees around me? Because a person who worships only the deity and disregards the devotees, he is in the lowermost Kanishta platform. And everybody is encouraged to move above the Kanishta platform, which means you have to have friendly relationship with other devotees. Because that devotee who you are having relationship, he is also part and parcel of the same deity you are worshipping. So you cannot have a bad relationship with other devotees and go in front of the deity and smile, because the deity will not smile back, because he is personal. The person next to you, he may be smiling, but for you, he will not smile, because he is personal. He knows how to reciprocate. And consciousness, before going to the altar, the dealings that you have at home or in the ashram, whichever ashram you are in, it affects you. So, how does this knowledge of material nature, the spiritual nature, how does that help me in having good relationship with other devotees? Krishna explains that at the core, everybody is spiritual. He says, everybody is my part and parcel. Mamaiv amsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. They are all my eternal fragmental parts. So that's how Krishna is seeing. What should we do? We should see in the same way. And then just as we have coverings, and our coverings, if some configuration changes with my earth, water, fire, my intelligence, my mind, I have trouble. Similarly, others will also have similar mental, emotional, physical issues. So when dealing with them, what do we do? Okay, he is at core spiritual, but somehow modes are acting on him. So don't blame the persons, blame the modes. So it gives you a mature vision of looking at some immature responses from the devotees or their actions. When we are able to look through the eyes of knowledge, okay, he is not to be blamed. The modes are acting. Now the modes are acting on him, it may act on me as well. So let me extend a helping hand in giving support and whatever level he wants. If he is willing to get the help, why not give it? Help him to get out of the tough times, because you are dealing with the time. We may go through good times, bad times, and similarly others will also go through good and bad times. And accordingly we should have the dealings with them. The six loving exchanges are a very powerful way to develop these loving relationships. We sit and have prasadam together. We do kirtan together. We dance in the kirtan together. These are all uplifting. He may be going through a tough time, but we can assist them by this mature knowledge, because this will actually fulfill his spiritual needs, emotional needs and social needs, everything. By being supportive to others and by seeing them as part and parcel of the Lord, by seeing them as a servant of God, we are serving the servants. So that will please Lord further. So by showing mature behavior towards immature behavior, by showing patience towards impatient, arrogant responses, so we actually also mature in our spiritual life and we help others also. In this way, the knowledge of the different elements of material nature helps us to have good dealings with other devotees. Now we have seen how this is knowledge is helping us. We'll come to the crucial aspect of time, which is one of the key topics that is being covered here. Now, the factor of time, it says it represents God. And then we see in our day-to-day life, that is the prime driving factor that is pushing us. Now, the yuga that currently we are in, because yugas also come under a broad level of time. So, the yuga that currently we are in is Kali Yuga. And what are the characteristics of Kali Yuga? Short memory, prayena alpa ayusha sabhya kalo asmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyahi upadritaha. So these qualities are described in the beginning itself. It is said, oh, it is very discouraging. The beginning of Bhagavatam itself presents this kind of a picture. But wait till you read the entire Bhagavatam. Later on, the advantage of Kali Yuga is also described. Kaler dosha nide rajan astihi eko mahan guna kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sanga param rajet. Even though Kali Yuga is full of faults, but there is one good quality: just by chanting the name of God, you can get delivered. So when we are presenting this system of Nama Sankirtan, we can bring it how it is relevant to the current social situation, how people are misguided, and we can present this. Just by chanting name of God, you can overcome the effect of time. The earlier verse mentioned about time being destructive. Now I got initiated, I'm wearing neck beads, I'm putting tilak, and time should not affect me, right? Because I'm surrendered to the Lord, and Lord says that I will protect you. So now, and then we see devotees going through tough periods in their life. Some devotee's car gets smashed. The accident can crush the car, but it will not crush their faith. The car may get written off, but their faith, their commitment actually doubles or triples or more. There's one devotee sitting there. I mean, practically I can see. After hard times, their intensity, their greed to do devotional service increased. The next day they are in the altar and they want to do more service. Greed is there. Now the time factor, as distracting, it has its effects. Lord Kapila himself describes in the previous chapter, time will take away all the opulences except the spiritual opulences. So my mother, do not fear. The previous chapter he explains, and the effect of time, when it affects devotees, and how do they respond? It is said that they do not even waste a moment of time. So that is at the very topmost level. At the level of bhava, there is a characteristic, avyartha kalatvam. They do not waste any moment. Now at the level much lower, what can we do to effectively use the time? It's described that every rising and setting of the sun takes away a day of life from everybody. And here is where Srimad Bhagavatam's glory is. It gives a positive alternative, except for that person who discusses the glories of the Lord. Even though for everybody else their duration of life goes down, but for the devotees it does not. Ayur harati vaipumsam uddayan hastam. So that verse clearly brings out how a person who is spending his time in discussing the pastimes of the Lord, for him the destructive effect of time does not have effect. Now, so we say, okay, devotees came out successfully from their tough situations. Now what happens if, in case they go through so much of trouble, where do they take their shelter? And because this being Bhishma Panchak, I thought it is relevant to discuss how Bhishma Dev actually consoled Maharaj Yudhishthir when he was going through tough times. That section is actually very, very powerful for us to read for our own personal application. And when we have to counsel somebody, console somebody, when they are going to tough times, that section is very, very powerful because it brings up a lot of questions. Because nobody could be as perfect in following Dharma as Yudhishthira, because he is the embodiment of religion. And who are his brothers? Bhima, the powerful person in the world. And Arjuna, best archer. Despite all this, Yudhishthir went through a lot of reversals. So Bhishma Dev explains that it is not worthy for a person to even sustain his life if he had gone through what you have gone through. Jivita narhata klishtam vipra dharma achyuta ashraya. Can you bring first canto? So, a person who has suffered so many reversals in this life, he does not even deserve to live. You have gone through so many reversals in your life that it is overwhelming. So he explains there how the qualities which Yudhishthira Maharaj had. He had three things. He took shelter of Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta, Ashraya. He took shelter of three things. He took shelter of the Brahmanas. He followed Dharma properly. And then he took shelter of Achyuta. These three things, Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta, Ashraya. So in that section, Bhishma Dev explains. So he actually acknowledges the sorrow of Yudhishthira. That's the first step we should do when somebody is going through the tough times. So we acknowledge what they are going through. Then he starts to console him by describing the intensity of suffering that he went through. In that way, you are able to see what others are going through. That way they can then take further guidance from you. So that's the first step. You sympathize with them and then bring out their good qualities that are in them despite their facing the reversals. Because he is already in a very down, if I'm giving him more and more trouble by pointing out his faults, that's not the time. So you actually bring out the positives in them, and that way what happens is he actually feels a bit more enthused, at least he's willing to listen. So that's a famous verse. This is 1.9.12.
Aho kashtam aho anyayam yadyuyam dharmanandana jivitum narhata klishtam vipra dharma achyuta ashrayaha.
Bhishma Dev said, oh, what terrible sufferings and what terrible injustices you good souls suffer for being the sons of religion personified. You did not deserve to remain alive under those tribulations. Yet, you were protected by Brahmanas, God and religion. The purport Prabhupada explains, thus Bhishma Dev encouraged Maharaj Yudhishthir to dissipate his despondency. As long as a person is fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, first point, guided by bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, second point, third, and strictly following religious principles, what is the result? One has no cause for despondency, however trying the circumstances of life. Bhishma Dev, as one of the authorities in the line, wanted to impress this point upon the Pandavas. Then Bhishma Dev empathizes with Mother Kunti. As far as my daughter-in-law Kunti is concerned, upon the great general Pandu's death, she became a widow with many children, and therefore she suffered greatly. And when you were grown up, she suffered a great deal also because of your actions. Here is the verse that is talking about the time factor, which is relevant to the topic that we are discussing. Sarvam kala kritam manye bhavatam cha yada priyam sapalo yad vashiloko vayo rivagana valihi. In my opinion, this is all due to inevitable time, under whose control everyone in every planet is carried, just as clouds are carried by the wind. In that purport, Prabhupada has written, this section is worth reading. Anybody who wants to read this section, I strongly recommend, especially during this Bhishma Panchak. Thus Yudhishthira should not be sorry for the inconceivable action of time. Everyone has to bear the actions and reactions of time as long as one is within the conditions of material world. Yudhishthira should not think that he had committed sins in his previous birth and is suffering the consequence. Even the most pious has to suffer the condition of material nature. Now, that's not very hope-giving, right? I'm doing all this, I'm surrendering my life. Krishna is standing right next to me and guiding, still I'm suffering. So this raises doubts in us. How come? The next verse is what I was telling. In that verse, Bhishma Dev will quote, you had Bhima, Arjuna, and above all, you had Krishna right next to you, still you suffered. That doesn't seem to give much hope. Even after taking shelter, the entire promise of bhakti is that once you surrender, I'll take care. But we are seeing a case study in Bhagavatam, the first canto itself, going through so many misery. So if I take up Krishna consciousness, this is what I'll go through. So better worship some other demigods. I'll be prosperous. Right? Om Namah Shivaya. No, these tribulations that the devotee goes through, Acharya has explained that Krishna picks up devotees who are very close to him and puts them through these situations so that he can teach the entire world. After going through all the trials and tribulations, what is the prayer that is coming out of Mother Kunti's mouth? Vipata santu dashashvate tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhava darshanam. She is praying for more and more calamities. Because seeing you means I will not see repeated birth and death again. The famous verse, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopak Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Acharyas explained that when going through such tribulations, devotees' bhava actually intensifies and they get more and more and more closer to Krishna. What's the point in having the entire opulence in the world if you don't have Krishna? The demigods give you the entire opulence in this world, but they don't give you Krishna. So what's the point? As a time factor, everything is going to go anyway. But we saw that bhakti never goes. नेहा विक्रम नाशोस्ति प्रत्यवायो न विद्यते स्वल्पम अप्यस्य धर्मस्य त्रायते महतो भयात्। इवन अ लिटिल एडवांसमेंट मेड इन दिस पाथ cannot be taken away by time factor. So what do you want to choose? Material opulence or devotion to Krishna? So this is one level of understanding why devotees go through tough times. The second point is that Krishna, just like a father, sometimes has to apply a stinging ointment in the eyes of a child to take the disease away. So sometimes Krishna takes away the opulences of devotees to teach them certain lessons. We should observe what is being taken away is definitely for my good only. Yasyaham anugrinnami harishye taddanam shanai tato ajanam twajantyasya swajana dukkha dukkitaha. If I have to show special mercy to some devotee, Krishna says, first installment, I'll take away all his opulences. Bank balance gone, social payments gone, wife relatives are not there. So, who is the only shelter? Hari. So, when such a person takes complete shelter of Krishna, at that time he says, I give myself to such a devotee. When he gives up everything and turns towards me with intense devotion, at that time, I give myself to him. And once you have Krishna, you have everything. As we have discussed, this example of Bali Maharaj going through the entire sequence of having everything, losing everything, getting chastised by Krishna, being in front of everybody being chastised, and then, at the end, Bali Maharaj said, I myself will be your doorkeeper. And everything he lacked, Krishna provided. He just took away the false ego. Right in front of the Lord, Bali Maharaj said, I am the owner of the three worlds. You can take whatever you like. So that false ego was taken and Bali Maharaj gave himself. Then Lord also gave himself. In that way, till now, the effect of time does not affect Bali Maharaj. And now he is going to be the next Indra. So your material desires will also be fulfilled. Another special mercy of the Lord is that he gives shelter to such a devotee in his own lotus feet. And that shelter gives the most important ingredient for our life, which is satisfaction. The austerity of mind is to be satisfied. So that satisfaction Krishna gives by giving shelter to such a devotee in his own lotus feet, even though he may not desire. Icchabhidanam nijapala pallavam. So, this way, we see how devotees, when they face reversals, they bounce back and the effect of time does not take away their devotion, whereas it acts as a more impetus for them to do further devotional service. And by these difficulties, only the pure hearted ones will survive. It is also meant to maintain the confidentiality of bhakti that sometimes devotees go through difficult situations due to time factor. Now, having understood all this, we have to also practically apply the different time management aspects that are being brought out in the Srimad Bhagavatam as to how effectively use every moment in hearing about the Lord, discussing about the Lord, and every activity that is there in our devotional service, because our mind has a ability to wander and go to places differently. Whenever towards the end of the arati, when everything finishes, what do? We do the Jayadvani prayers. At that time, what all we say? We glorify the Guru, Param Guru. Then we glorify the Dham. So every time when those things are being told to us, so we take the blessings of the Acharyas, then Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopinath, Shama Kunda, Radha Kunda, Giri, Govardhan ki Jaya. See, because our mind is capable of going at a very high speed, every time when they say Radha Kund, we can go dip in Radha Kund, Shama Kund, another dip, and then Govardhan, another circle, ki Jaya. Because mind is capable of going to such speed. At the moment, physically, I am not able to go to the Dham, but still, mentally, I can be there. Then after that, what do we say? Ganga Mai ki Jai. So we can take a dip, Ganga. Yamuna Mai ki Jai. Bhakti Devi ki Jai. Tulasi Maharani ki Jai. So because the propensity of the mind is to travel fast, okay, so direct it to the Dham, direct it to the devotees, and do it at the right time. So then, that which same thing which is binding me will help me to come out. So this is how the knowledge of the material elements, the time, all that will help us to manage ourselves better, to do our deity worship in a more intensified way, have good relationship with other devotees, and thereby please the spiritual master and the Lord ultimately. So I'll conclude here. Ask if there are any corrections, comments.
First of all, thank you very much for the excellent class.
It's all Prabhupada's mercy, his purport, his book
sir. Prabhupada also said the same thing. When his business failed in Allahabad, the pharmaceutical business, he said, now I have to take shelter. Second thing I was remembering while he was here. When he installed the duty of Radha Gopinath in Sydney, Srila Prabhupada said, I am giving this to the lectures.
Yes.
So please, now, my question is, you were telling about offering the water.
Yes.
Can you explain it? Are you giving bath or what?
No, no. So, the logic to understand that is, you don't bathe somebody when they are having the dress, do you? No. So, we don't bathe the deities when they are in public and when they are having the dress. So, bathing is done in private. After Mangalarti finishes, the curtains are closed. That time pujaris go in and they bathe the deities. So the Argya water, that signifies offering the holy waters of the rivers. That is as a respect of when you go to any big festivals or marriages in marriage or any festivals in India, as soon as you enter, they'll give you some sandalwood paste and they'll sprinkle water on your head. It's to signify the auspiciousness. And they are treating you as a guest and they are respecting you as a honor of respecting you. In that sign, we offer the water on the head. And later on, that water is sprinkled on our head. So that is not bathing. That Argya is different. Anybody wants to add to that point?
On the same point, on Bengal, yeah, you are offering officials also. When you go as a guest, they water and
the
prayer
wishes
also. Okay. Very high standard.
Yes.
The future body we get depends on our consciousness as well as karma.
Future body we get depends on our consciousness and karma. Yes, that's right.
So when the
so when the universe is begun, the body is clean and there is no karma. So then how did we get the body? So there was no time when there was no karma. So the karma of the living entity that he is carrying, that's been happening from as a big cycle. So there's no point where the souls that are not liberated, they don't have karma. The fact that they're still in the material world means they have some karma with them. So you understand it in this way, that it is like a cycle. It's happening. But bhakti gives you the option of getting you out of this karma cycle. Because Krishna says to understand the intricacies of karma is very, very difficult. But I am giving you the process of bhakti, which will take you out of this karmic cycle. We need to be aware of the situation that my present body that I have is a result of my previous desires and karma. But still I can use this, as we discussed, every element can be used in Lord service and we can go out. So that till the karma and all that dissolves, and once you, everything is done, so you get a spiritual body and leave. Till the time, they will be kept dormant in Mahavishnu's body. And according to that particular desires, you are meant to go to this particular universe. So when the universe is created and a particular body is ready, then you go into that particular body, again go through the cycle, there, leave for some time, then dissolution happens, like it's like a cycle. Any other questions?
Yes,
please.
It's an important feature of the time is that they're connected to the guna, to the gunas. So time, when it's connected to the mode of goodness, it prolongs life and lasts longer. We can see the demigods which are in mode of goodness, they live much longer time.
Yeah.
Then you have Satya Yuga, which the people are mostly in mode of goodness, they live very long time. And as the time progresses in the yugas, you know,
lifespan, lifestyle. Yeah.
Yes, and someone mentioned even, they said, oh, have you noticed that the time goes very fast in these days? It's actually because the collective mode of ignorance is increasing, so that everything goes very fast. You don't have time to do anything.
So Mataji's point was how time is related to the modes, and then time as such affects the lifespan, the longevity, how we see Satya Yuga people had a longer lifespan, Treta Yuga then just comes down. So, yeah, that's a good point. Any other questions? Yes.
Koti mentioned that
praying
to Krishna, Indian calamities, so we do not have repeated birth and death.
Yeah.
So, she's asking for the death.
More difficulties, yeah. Yeah, that's true. So the question is?
No, it's just
a comment. Oh, comment. Okay, all right. Yes.
In the class you mentioned about Yudhishthira Maharaj and Kunti Maharani, and they, despite having so much reversals in their life,
yeah.
But we can see from the Shastra that they are, that this is the devotees of the Lord.
Yeah.
But as in fact, and whatever was happening in their lives, it was will of the Lord rather
yeah.
than their karma. But in our, as a practicing sadhana, in our life,
how do we see that?
Reversals,
yeah.
How do we see that as like, you know, will of the Lord rather than not taking the will of karma? So
the question is, the reversals in our life, how do we see that? Should we see that as karma or the Lord's will? In case of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and it is mentioned that he did not do any unjust things so that he has to go through reaction, that's mentioned in the purport. Interestingly, you asked this point because I forgot to mention that point in the class. The difference between devotees suffering, although it may seem as if it is karmic reaction, it is not. How do we understand that? Key difference is that if a person is going through a suffering due to Krishna's will, so that suffering will not leave any trace of bad qualities inside you. Whereas a karmic reaction, if you are getting, the trace of that bad qualities will still be there. So that is how we understand that although it may externally seem that it is all due to karmic reactions, but when we see the real life example of, take say, Dhruva Maharaj, after he saw the Lord, he was satisfied. His desire to have a kingdom better than Lord Brahma, so the desire is getting satisfied at the root level, and he says, I don't want this kingdom, I came after a piece of glass. Whereas a person worshipping a demigod, he gets what he wants, but he still asks for more. So getting that benediction from somebody, it is still leaving a trace of those desires within you, and it is prolonging the cycle. So personally, when we analyze, when the difficulties, when we face, if we are initiated devotees, we think that, okay, all my 100% karma is taken away at the time of initiation. If that's the case, we should have got a spiritual body after the fire yajna and then boarded the aeroplane and gone straight. The fact that we still have a material body means that there is some token reactions which are you have to go through so that you learn the lesson in this material world. So for giving that, there will be some residual karma that is left to teach you. For example, before coming to Australia, we go through a lot of process by which they train us how to behave nicely in Australia, how to speak nicely in Australia. Say for example, if I apply for a visa to Australia and immediately they sanction and then I come in straight and I don't know how to speak, I don't know how to relate. Similarly, as soon as I get initiated, if I get liberated, I'll go to spiritual world, I don't know how to work there, I don't know how to serve there, I'll be stuck. So then you'll be like a misfit there. So while you are here, so you go through the process of devotional service, you do sadhana bhakti, then you know how to be a servant of the servant. In the spiritual world, that's what's happening. You will be assisting somebody else, especially your spiritual master in his. So for you to learn that and teach, develop those spiritual qualities inside you before you become fully eligible to go back to the spiritual world, that's what these things have come. So when you see them, a devotee usually says, it's mentioned in the purport also, I should have lost my finger. I should have lost my hand, just a small cut happened. So these are all just token reactions. And at the same time, even while going through those reactions, if a person is offering prayers, that's a famous verse of Brahma's prayers, that it's actually written and stuck there above the bookshelf. Somebody wants to go and read. Tattenu kampam susamikshamanu, that famous verse. So even while going through all those trials and tribulations, if a person is able to offer prayers with his body, mind and words, such a person can go back to the spiritual world. So the karmic, whether it's a karmic reaction or not, we don't have to analyze fully, but the effect is that if it is leaving a trace of desire to enjoy still, then it is due to some karmic reaction. But if it is, the suffering is due to the will of the Lord, then it will take away that, so then we don't feel the desires popping up again. So till the time we go through the purification. So we should not go and contemplate on the old habits that we had and all those, and because that will actually bring it back. So what has been taken away, if you go and contemplate again, Krishna will just be an observer and then like, okay, you want it again. So anything else comes up, so we don't have to add extra karma. That's why the four regulative principles are there. So you don't create more further karma, one side, and then you start devotional practice on the other side, and then you develop spiritual qualities. And by that time, what happens is, whatever is residual karma, that is getting washed away. If you are going and adding more karma, then your duration in the world is going to prolong. I'll not stand in between you and prasadam, so. Hare Krishna, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki ji, samaveta bhaktavinda ki.